Tonight the word of God comes from Psalm 100. This is the New International Version. And this may sound familiar. I think we may have just happened to sing some of this. I don't think that's coincidence. A psalm for giving grateful praise. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, God, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost, which is a day I always love to celebrate. We remember the coming, the first coming of the Holy Spirit on all God's people, poured out. And because of that, people saw the Spirit moving in the disciples and Jesus' followers. Peter preaches this amazing sermon, and 3,000 people are added to the believers' numbers that day. And so we also celebrate the birthday of the church in Pentecost. And we read further on in that Pentecost story in the second chapter of Acts that the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that they gathered daily in the temple to worship God together. And every Pentecost, I get this little longing in my soul for that first church, for that New Testament church, who were devoted to the things of God, who were filled with his Spirit, who couldn't wait to be together and share their lives. As a matter of fact, kind of contrary to our American ideal, that first church shared all that they had together, so that no one went hungry, and those who had much shared with those who had none or little. There were people who were so excited about the resurrection of Jesus and the forgiveness that offered them. They were so excited to be alive with the power of the Spirit. They just wanted to be together. We're fortunate in this country that we are able to get together and express our faith any way sort of we want to. And I am so thankful for those of you who are so faithful on Thursday nights, who come and share your lives with us, share your praises and your worship with us, who are a community, the family of God. I'm so thankful for all of you. But I know, as my friend Sue used to say, I know in my knower that God has more for us as a people, and just getting together on Thursday and Sunday, and is more for us. I believe God longs for us to be like that First Testament church. He longs to set his people on fire with passion and zeal for him. You know, we live in a time, some people are even calling this the post-Christian era. There are philosophers and sociologists who have said basically the church is dead, it's irrelevant, there's no place in our culture for the church anymore. And I believe with every fiber of my being that is not true. I believe that this world we live in is still desperate for the news of Jesus Christ, is desperate to be in community with other believers. And so we need to be open to God's Spirit. We need revival. We need God to bring us back to the cross, that our message is that of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to take the next few weeks and think about what it is the church is about, and maybe start conversation and even start our own praying and thinking about what God would want to do in his church, in his church worldwide, but also in his church right here as we gather together in Edgewater Park, New Jersey. And so the very first thing the church does is worship God. The very first thing that we are about as God's people is worship. Because worship is a response. It's a response to who God is and to what he does. When we see the goodness of God, when we see the beauty of God, when we catch a glimpse of who God is and we see his character, the response is worship. When we think about what God has done for us, first of all and best of all in Jesus Christ, but then all the other blessings he has poured out on our lives, our response is worship. Worship is the way we say, I love you, back to God. Worship is a critical, important, powerful job, if you will, and I hate to use that word, that the church is called to be a worshiping community. And as important as it is for us to worship in our own individual lives, to have time in our day when we spend time just one-on-one with God, where we sing his praises, where we thank him, where we listen to him speak to us, where we read his word, as vitally important as it is that each one of us has our own time of worship, it is just as important that we worship as a community. God did not create us to be lone rangers. He did not create us to be off on our own doing our own thing, but to be in community where we can love and encourage one another, where we are inspired by our worship together. Because Jesus promises us when we gather together in his name, he's with us in a special way. There's a special presence of God that comes upon us as we worship together. It's not because of the room we worship in. It's not because of the building we worship in. It's not even because of what our worship looks like. You know, people in church get into all kinds of arguments and disagreements and blog wars about what's the best way to worship God. Some people say you can only worship God with an organ and a massed choir and a beautiful liturgy. And you absolutely can worship God that way. And some people say, oh, you can't worship God unless you have the drums and the band going and singing praise worship songs. And even though we may have our own personal preference of how we worship God, there is no one right way to worship God. Any community of people that is lifting up Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we should be able to worship with. And I know that happens for a fact because last year, almost just a smidge over a year ago, when we were out in Cleveland at the Forward Church and we worshiped with our brothers and sisters there on Sunday morning, their worship is a little different than ours. And there was some rap going on and some spoken word. And I sensed these Presbyterians with me getting down, you know? They were enjoying it. They were worshiping God, even though it was way out of their comfort zone. Way out of their understanding of what church is. Because when Jesus is lifted up, his people can worship him. When we look in the scriptures, we see this wild variety of the way people worship God. And it's so encouraging to me because, you know, a lot of us grew up in the culture where we worship God by sitting very quietly with our hands folded in our pew. And there's nothing wrong with worshiping God that way. There's definitely a place to be in silence, to just be still before God. But as well as that in the scripture, we see people jumping and dancing and leaping and singing and waving branches and lifting their hands and getting down on their knees and falling flat on their faces. We see this incredible variety of the way that people worship God. And I'm reminded that there's not one right way, but what's important is that we're worshiping God, that we're telling God how much we love him. To celebrate his presence. shout joyfully to the Lord. That's how Psalm 100 started. Shout joyfully. Again, for those of us who were raised to be very quiet and on our best behavior in church, it may be a little unnerving. But how awesome to know that we are invited to worship God with everything that we have. You know, as a matter of fact, Jesus said the greatest commandment is this, right? To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what? That's the church. That's what the church is called to do, to love God with passion and then to love each other. Both the people who know Jesus and the people who don't yet know Jesus. And so we're free to worship God in whatever way we feel he calls us to, holding nothing back with all our mind and our strength and our heart and our soul. But one thing really hit me as I've been thinking about Psalm 100 today. You know, there's an incredible amount of passages on worship in the scriptures. When I was trying to figure out what passage I wanted to use, I really felt like God said Psalm 100. I was like, really? Psalm 100, Psalm 100, Psalm 100. So as I read it, something hit me really hard that I noticed before. It's a verse I love, but it never really caught me in the same way. And that's verse 4, when the psalmist tells us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. And as I read those verses over and over again, it hit me that that's the entrance to worship. That's the entrance to God's being in God's presence. It's thanks and praise. So if you're not sure exactly what it means to worship, if you're uncomfortable with some of this hand raising and kneeling down, and you're just not quite sure how you want to express your worship, or even if you're not even sure if you are worshiping, you know, sometimes we come to church, we go home, we kind of think, oh wow, you know, there's an hour. It's really cool to think about the entrance into God's presence. The beginning of our worship is praise and thanks. I said, we praise God for who he is. We praise God for what he's done. And David tells us in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praises of his people, that he's enthroned, if you will, on the praises of his people, that when we yell, sing, say, speak, whisper, whatever it is, God's praises, God is present there. And so we praise God because he's holy, and we praise God because he's righteous, and we praise God because he's full of grace. We praise him because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We praise him because he's the God who always was and the God who is and the God who is to come. We will not run out of things to praise him for. We praise him as well for what he's done, for his grace, that he showered his blessings on us, that we're his and that no one can snatch us out of the palm of his hand, that he will never leave or forsake us, that nothing is too hard for him, that he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We praise him. And as we praise him and declare his praises, he is lifted up. He is enthroned. He lives in our praises. So it's the very beginning of our worship. And then we thank him. Again, similar to praise, because we thank him for who he is and we thank him for what he's done, big things and little things. Things that seem inconsequential and things that have swept us off our feet. Paul tells us in the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, he tells us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing. And then he says this, and give thanks in every circumstance because that's God's will for your life. Give thanks in every circumstance because that's God's will for your life. So if we want to know what God's will for our life is, at least part of his will for his life, Paul tells us right there, and it's to give thanks in all circumstances. I love that Paul does not say give thanks for all circumstances. Because there's things in our life that we're not really that thankful for. There's things in our life that go terribly awry, sometimes by our doing and sometimes by nothing to do with us at all, just living in a broken world. And we're thankful because we see God work his good will out in those bad circumstances. And so sometimes in a way we wind up being thankful for them, but that's not what Paul says. But he says, in all circumstances, give thanks. And so how much more when we're together in worship to give thanks to God. We talked about this at Thanksgiving time. That giving thanks does something to us as a people. It takes hard hearts and it makes them soft. It takes people angrily holding a glass that's half empty and turns it into a cup that's overflowing. It takes our eyes off of what's wrong and it puts them back on what's right. It overwhelms us with the goodness and the grace of God and the little details of our life that sometimes we are prone to forget because the world is shouting around us how wrong things are. So as we long to be the church, as we long to be God's people worshiping, I would love us for a few weeks just to think about that as we gather together to worship, to enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. That if you're hungry for God, if you're desperate for a touch of him in your life, if you long to see your worship feel like the amazing thing that it is instead of just dryly sitting in your pew, then let's start by giving thanks and praise. That he would indeed inhabit the praises of his people. That he would change our hearts and our outlook and our attitudes as we become a more thankful people. This week, as I was thinking about this, I thought, you know what I want to do for the open time? I just want people to call out thanks and praise. And as I did that, I kind of had like a, oh, wow, moment. Because when I left here after the service we did right before Thanksgiving, we did that. You all very graciously called out your thanks, more than your praise, but mostly your thanks. And I realized as I walked out of that service back in November, I said, you know what? Sometime in the middle of the year, I want to do that again. I don't want to leave being thankful just for Thanksgiving. And I kind of had this wow moment, like, wow, I didn't even plan that out, God. You reminded me because I forgot all about it. But anyway, I'd love for you to be a people of praise, for us to be a people of praise, for us to be a people of thanks. So you don't have to raise your hand, but I would love it if you would just feel free to call out something you're thankful for, or to praise God for either who he is or what he's done in your life. It doesn't have to be long. You can say it more than one thing. So go. Be the church. Worship God. Thank you, God, that we're yours. We're your people. God, the sheep of your pasture. Help us to be a more thankful people. Help us to be a people of praise. Help us to be a people of worship, God, because you're so worthy of that. You've been so good to us, God. We stand in awe of who you are tonight. We just thank you in Jesus' name.